We left off the previous year, just trying to understand the significance of one question of the Gemara. This is backpedal for a moment. The whole thrust of the sugya in the days was to prove to us that an eid echad is believed to say that the get was written in Shema. That's what Yishe said. Yishe is demon. Even though according to Rabba, we are concerned lest the get was not written in Shema, the eid echad is demon to testify that that is the case. The Gemara said, how does that work? If min haTorah, we really have a concern that it wasn't written in Shema, we should require two witnesses. Which the Gemara said, no, no, no. Min haTorah, you're good to go. Min haTorah, there's nothing to worry about at all. Why is there nothing to worry about min haTorah? Because the Rabbi came in, that most of the people who are writing Gittin, most of the Gittin that are making their way into Beis Din are in fact in Kosher. So the Gemara says, really? That's true according to the Chachamim. But what about according to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was the Tana who was, we call Choshes the Miut. Rabbi Meir was the Tana who said that when you're not sure whether a little girl can do Yibum or not, she's 8 years old, we don't know if she can do Yibum. Rabbi Meir said, nope, she can't do Yibum. Because maybe she'll be an islandist. Maybe she won't develop properly. It'll turn out that it was a Yibum Shlom Mokal Mitzvah. And that'll be a disaster. So you see that Rabbi Meir was Choshesh the Miut. He was concerned about a Miut. What would he say about this topic? So the Gemara goes on to explain what even Rabbi Meir would ultimately concede, but this robe is even better than a regular robe, but this is going to work even according to. So we're not interested in the answer yet. We're just focusing on the question. When the Gemara had that line about Fidel to Rabbi Meir, it is clear that the Gemara was concerned, according to Rabbi Meir, on a Torah level. If Rabbi Meir's opinion was only some kind of a chumra with the Rabbanan, then the question would have been a foolish question. The whole thrust of the Gemara is to say that if it's the Rabbanan, if the whole problem is the Rabbanan, then the solution of Ed and Echad is going to work. If the problem is the Deraisa, then the solution is not going to work. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, is it a problem Deraisa, is it a problem the Rabbanan? So when the Gemara said, I feel like Rabbi Meir, it's a real problem, what did the Gemara mean with that line? I mean, it's a problem deraisa. According to Rabbi Meir, there's a real bona fide issue in HaTorah called Chashir Mamiyot. So that's a loaded, loaded statement. Because that was a big machlokes in Rishonim and Masechet Chulin. So Tosfos' opinion was that even Rabbi Meir, who's the biggest machmer in Chashir Mamiyot, told the Chumah Medir Rabbanan. It's not a real din deraisa. The Mordechai, the other mission disagreed. But according to Tosfos, that Rabbi Meir never meant to say min HaTorah. You don't follow Rabbi, but you follow Rabbi HaTorah. Rabbi HaTosfos, of course, that carries a day min HaTorah. According to Tosfos, how in the world do they read this Gemara? How could the Gemara say, what's the problem? It's only a Durabonim. And for Durabonims, the solution of Menachem is going to be sufficient. So what is Pshat? How did the Balatosis read this behind the Gemara? So at the very end of this year, on Wednesday, we quoted a line in the Tosfos in the 8th of the Mamko. Let's go back there for a moment. It was an observation of Tosfos in the Choros Tavchof, in the bold print of the Tosfos, 8th of the Mamko. Says Tosfos, when do we say that Rabbi Meir is concerning for the miut? There's only a chumah midrabanan. That's where there's no chazaka working against you. But when the status quo is usher and the miut is usher, those two forces combine together min haTorah, and that's the magic term called smoch miut lechazaka. And that for sure is a problem in HaTorah. So Tosfos here in Bechoros was not addressing the Gemara and Gittin, but it reads beautifully now to the Gemara and Gittin. And the Gemara goes back and Gittin and asks about feeling Rabbi Meir, the Chash for Miut. Rabbi Meir was concerned with the Miut. This case is a disaster, according to Rabbi Meir. Because not only are there a small percentage of Gittin that were not written in Shema, this woman has a Cheskes Isser. She was an Eishes Isser for the last 20 years. So that spells a disaster in HaTorah. That's a chazaka with a miut, forces together, smoke chazaka carries the day, and that's for sure, says Tosfos, it's not negotiable, that's a dimmi deraisa. So now, the Gemara's question makes perfect sense. I feel Rabbi Meir, even according to Rabbi Meir, Chayesh the Muta, what that really means is the parenthesis, the Chayesh the Muta with a Chazakha, which means Bedaraisa. What did Rabbi Meir do? So the question didn't even answer. We're not up to the answer yet. We're still, today she has still the question. So let's backpedal for a moment and try to understand what's now playing out within the view of Rabbi Meir. Truth to be told, we don't pass it. We have to pass it in that locha shele miyuta. But still, we have to understand every line, every word, even Rabbi Meir Shita, for two reasons. First of all, Rabbi Meir Shita is a chafta from Torah. It's a mitzvah with the raisa to understand every single nuance and every single sheep that appears in Chazal. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that a lot of what we're going to use to understand Rabbi Meir is going to come back to us as well. That many, many of the truths that we're going to that are going to be unfolded in the understanding of Rabbi Meir Shita are going to have significant impact on us, Halacha, as well. So let's analyze Rabbi Meir for a moment. Rabbi Meir is really saying two things according to us. In the presence of a Chazaka, smoke mitul chazaka is deraisa. In the absence of a chazaka, then chashil miyuta is only mitul rabbanon. So we have a few challenges to understand. How did Tosus know that all that is true? Number one. And number two, conceptually, how do we understand what that's all about? It seems almost like arbitrary. Flip a coin. Yeah, chazaka is deraisa. No chazaka is deraisa. Like, what exactly is going on? What exactly is the rationale behind it? So let's first see where Tosus got this idea from, how they proved it, and then try to understand a little bit what it's all about. So Tosus threw in a very cryptic line in that Tosus B'chorus, with the Tirga B'Tidok. Because of the story of the Tidok, that's the proof. So we mentioned at the very end of the Shir, the story of the Tidok. Let's go back to the Tidok again on the 7th of the Mamakomis. This man, the Kedushin HaPemidav, we learned in the Mishnah, Tidok Shinimtza B'tzad Yitzo Batzik B'yodom. There's a little child who's standing next to a doe, and he's holding onto some of the doe. So we know a few things. That we know that the dough was Tahora. Yesterday it was Tahora. We now know we have a serious latest asofen, whether it's still Tahora, because the child touched it, and the child most probably is Tummy, most probably touched a dead mouse or something. So what do you do? Rameya Batar. Rameya says, Rameya waves his hand, it's okay. The dough is Tahora, it's still Tahora, don't worry about it. Chacham Batar, Chacham say that the dough is Tummy. The Shidarka Shadilchutafeyach, Chacham explained to you why they say it's Tummy. Because it's normal, the regular, the odds are that the child is probably tummy. Probably played around in the garbage with the dead lizards and dead mice. So the Gemara goes back to explain. When this Mishnah was discussed in the Beis Medrash, we had the following analysis of this Mishnah. My time is Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir's reason? If the rule of the Chacham seemed to be correct, that most children are tummy. So how would Rabbi Meir respond? Because some of Rabbi Meir's opinion is, Rov tinokos betavchin, umiot ein metavchin. That true, most children play around, patch around in the garbage. So the odds are 80% chance that this kid is tummy, but there's a small percentage of children who are not metafin, who are not tummy.
What could be say
about it? Well, there's only one suffix. The one suffix is.
One suffix is yelet, one suffix is tummy over tahar, and the other suffix is kol yelet, it is going to touch something that's, you know, that's.
Okay. Well, that's the same subject. That's the same way. If he touched the dead mouse, then he's tummy. If he didn't touch the dead mouse, it's tummy.
One time it's oof himself and one time his behavior.
No, it's the same subject. The one subject in front of the only thing that matters is this kid tummy or not? So we have a latest of something, is the kid tummy. So the Chachamim said, you don't have a latest of something, you have a robe. The robe is that he is tummy. So how would Rabbi Meir respond to that robe? So Rabbi Meir has the following fascinating response. The time to Rabbi Meir. Yes, it's true. Rove tinokos betavchin rabbi demetavchin. The Isa becheskes taro mentions, but the Isa was tahor. Smoch miyuta lechazapa israelay ruba. Rabbi Meir says that those two forces joined together, the cheskes tahara of the Isa, together with the small percentage of children who are still tahorim, you combine those two forces together, smoch miyuta lechazapa, and we can be makil that the Isa remains tahora. And the Rabbanim say no. Rabbanim yuta kumat delay sedami. The miyut doesn't exist. Ruba chazak ruba adish. Chacham say you don't say that. So here Rabbi Meir invokes the principle of smoke miyut chazaka in which direction? Lakula. He's being mocked or something. The Chacham was saying, no, this Issa is today. It's tummy, finished. Come out of the game's over. No. We can be lenient about this Issa based on the principle of smoke miyut chazaka. You can't use a principle that was made up by the Chachamim to be makel on something that would otherwise be a Torah have been a problem. So for the fact that Rabbi Meir is invoking this principle and using it l'kula, you see clear as day that it's a deraisa concept. Smoke l'kula makes sense on a Torah level. Rabbi Meir is using it even lekula. So it's this Gemara that ties that Amar. When Tosfos had that phrase with the Tia Gabetina, it was only three words tucked away that ties the Bechiras. They realized right away, oh, of course you know what they're talking about. Of course you remember the word condition of pay. Of course you realize that the only way to explain Rabbi Meir Shita is to say that's a deraisa lekula. That's a proof that Rabbi Meir is metar or metame, whatever the case may be, based on Tzvok Mechazach and love of their eyes. So Baruch Hashem for that Tosfos. If not for these three words, but the Tia Gabetinok, Agamarki would be incomprehensible. So because we now discovered the Tosfos Bechoros, and Tosfos Bechoros had a raya from the Gemara Kedushin, now we can learn Gittin. So just in case you think we're only learning one line, you have to learn the whole of the Kotakul. You have to understand the line of the Gemara Gittin base in light of the Sugya in Bechoros, in light of the Sugya in Tosfos Kedushin. So we have the proofs, we have the information down pat. We're just not sure we understand that information. So that's a loaded statement. So the pashup shot of the sugi is that it's tameh min haTorah. You are mechaveh to a possibility in some rishonim, otherwise, which would throw a serious monkey wrench into everything we're talking about. So the answer to the question is yes, but the second answer to that question is we're not going to go down that route. It's not the pashup of the sugi. Let's see if we can understand it. So what Tosfos basically told us, like a brisket Torah, that there are two applications of Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir is the big Chashir L'miyuta Shita. So it has two meanings to it. Number one, in the presence of a Chazaka, it becomes Deraisa. In the absence of a Chazaka, it's only Midrabbanan. How do we understand what that is all about? So the Chor, it all revolves around one basic fundamental Torah question as to how to understand the Parsha Rov. Acharam Mahatos. We said on Wednesday that there's a dim in Acharam Mahatos, and probably that's the source for the entire principle of Rove. According to one opinion, Rashi, that's the Isa Kaman, the Leisa Kaman, the idea of Rove is ultimately has its roots in Acharam Mahatos. One can raise a fundamental question: how do you understand the lumdus of Rove? There's a 90% chance that the following is true, but someone's like knocking on a door, but there's a 10% chance that it's not true. Torah says, okay, don't worry about it, just follow the Punjabi. What does that mean? What do the words mean when you have a 90 to 10? What is the nature of that Allah that you follow wrote? So Rabbi Chaim Wasserman presents the following. It's a very famous Chakira in other areas. Rabbi Chaim applauds it here as well. What is the nature of this halacha of Rove? One can understand one of two. Either one can understand that Rove is what we call a halachic biror. That the Torah is telling us that we have now determined what the facts are. You can say with a straight face, I am certain that these are the facts. Even though, like in the back of my mind, there's something gnawing at me and saying, oh, but it's not good. No, it is true. It's 100% true that these are the facts. That's what Rove tells me. Rove is mevarer to me for all practical purposes. These are the facts. If Rove is a mevarer, what that basically means is, when I look at this case now, there is no miut anymore. The miut has ceased to exist. The miut is, to coin the phrase, command the leisadomi. The miut is not here because the Rove is carried today. The Rove is a Mavan. That's one way of understanding the Rove. But there's a totally different way in Lomdus understanding the Rove. Rove is not negating the existence of the Mir. Who are you kidding? Who are you joking? There's an 8% chance you have a problem here. What do you mean there's a Rove? Rove means it's valid. You know, in life, we have to live our lives based on a certain degree of statistics. Every decision that we make, whether we know it or not, is some degree of statistics going into it. What Rove means is that, yes, the mute exists. I'm well aware it exists. I'm not ignoring you. I'm not negating it. The afa pichain, I'm going to do the following, knowing full well that 3% chance is still there. I'm not ignoring the fear. It could be, it may actually come back to haunt me. It's possible, but that's a din haTorah. And that's what, it's similar. It's a similar kind of an idea. Yeah, it's a similar type of an idea. So this phrase is usually what's called a hanhaga. Like, I'm allowed to be knowing in the following way. I live my life and I make my decisions knowing full well that there's a 2% chance that I may be wrong. But I imagine, again, I'll defer to some of the people in different fields, but give an example in the medical field. I imagine that certain medical decisions are made based on that decision. Sometimes you have to do something. Can you say that there's no chance that what I'm doing is going to go wrong? Possible. But the hanhog is, the odds are that I'm probably right. This is probably the right course of treatment. So I'm going to do it anyway, even though I know that there is a chance. It's not that the mute doesn't exist. Of course the mute exists. It exists. But at least prayer. I have to move on anyway. So that's a lumdish question. How do you understand the Chiddush HaTorah of Rove? Is Rove with the fire with the emesis and the mute doesn't exist? Or is Rove literally command the lace of them? So l'chora, that's what's playing out between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. That both Rabbi Meir and the Chacham agree to Rove. Nobody's arguing on Rove. Min HaTorah, you're allowed to follow Rove. But Rabbi Meir follows Rove with a different mindset than the Chacham follows. When Rabbi Meir looks at a Rove, he says, a Rove is fundamentally Hanhaga. You have a right to follow it, but don't say the miyuta. Don't be dishonest. Don't say the miyut isn't there. The miyut is command the east the dummy. It exists. My nafkin mean that it exists. I'm allowed to follow up anyway. It exists in the following. It's still there to haunt me, and it may join forces with other factors as well. So Kol's mind, there's no other factor. I don't have to worry about it. But the Torah says, but the minute that it's find something else to link up with and begin to rear its head and begin to cause trouble, wait a second, that I can't ignore it because I never really ignored it. I just kind of put it on the back burner, but I didn't say it didn't exist. That's exactly what Ramer says. Kolzbad, there's no chazaka here. Ramad is father of and forget that. But the minute that a chazaka comes to haunt you, smaych miyuta l'chazaka, the ishral aruba. The miyut and the chazaka join forces and now create a. They're two allies. They exist together. Kolzbad, that weaker country, two front war. Kolzbad, the weaker country, exists. Has a couple of armies left. You have to still write. You have to be careful. You never know what's going to join against you. If it's surrendered, if it's gone, if it ceases, the military ceases to exist, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. So that's exactly what Ramirez says. It's there. It's in the shadows in the back, waiting to join forces with another ally. Its ally is Chazaka. And Rabbi Meir says that exists in HaTorah. But Rabbi Meir is only able to say that svar, smoke with the Chazaka, because his lumpish conceptual way of understanding what a robe was not a beaver. The Chachamim, what was the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Meir? Go back to the seventh of my comments for a second. And the third line, Rabbanan bi'uta command the leisa dami. And that line, Rabban said, well, miyutuk by the lace dummy means the miyut isn't here. It's surrendered. It's done. It's history. If the miyut is nisbara, then it doesn't exist. How's it going to join forces with the chazaka? And therefore, according to the chachamim, even in the presence of the chazaka, there's nothing to worry about.
I think they just be saying that specifically in this case. It's a big jump to go from the case of the Tino to say that miyut doesn't exist ever. That when there's a rove that it's never.
Okay, it could be. So there may be gradations of roves. So those are whole other sugyas about rove boris and rove garuas. That are there, is there such a thing as a mir hamotzi, mir shein hamotzi? So those may be nuances of differences. Most probably, those nuances are only mid derabbanan. Most probably, on a level of deraisa, generally speaking, in Torah law, usually dim deraisa are pretty black and white. They either mutar also chayav potter tabi tar. You find very, very rarely in dim deraisa like this fudging kind of a thing that, well, it depends if it's 2% more, 2% less. It's usually either yes rove or no rove. In the world of derabbanan, there's a lot more gray area.
So according to Ramea, if something happens afterwards, you can't go back. You can go backwards, sort of like to attach it.
According to Ramea, yeah, just because you pass in rove is not the end of the story. The game's not over, according to Ramea.
It's not a reality where Meir on the rice. But if it was reality on Meir the rice, so once he Paskin says it road works because there's nothing else attached, he shouldn't be able to.
Okay, so that's another question about if you already use the rove, once the rove works in a certain direction, does it now take on a life in of itself? That's a loaded question. But here, we didn't Paskin it. Here, we're being done right now. I have a latest suffix about this baby and the dough. So Rabbi Meir is looking at the suffix and saying, yes, it's true that rove babies are tummy. That's correct. But mir are not, so that you can't ignore the mir. And chazaka exists to save you. So those two forces are going to combine together to combat the rove.
No, a mir could be completely minuscule. What a billion.
So that's another question. When you have a mir, that's some of the idea I was raising. Do you ever reach a point where even Rabbi Meir ultimately buys into the Rabbanan? So I don't want to ruin the suspense, but that could be what the Gemara means in Kitna Beis. But the Gemara says that it's such a low percentage of rove that even Rabbi Meir is going to concede. So we're going to we're going to hopefully circle back at some point the next, I'm not sure when, but at some point the next couple of days, we'll get back to what said is Kitna Beis. But still, we're trying to focus on what Rabbi Meir did or did not say.
If you're a woman is past menopause, and her husband dies, and then
you have a child. No, you still have to have it. It doesn't matter. Yibum is not is not literally to have a child. I mean, that's the goal, obviously, of Yibum. But the only time that there's no Yibum is if the woman is an islandess. So just because she could be 95 years old, she's still chayavas to do a Yibum Chalitza.
That's not a functional islandess?
No, no. A functional islandess, the definition of islandess is a very, very specific thing. Islandess is a woman. The Gemara gives descriptions of literally the body, her feminine parts of her body just never developed properly at all. But if she's a regular, normal, from an anatomy point of view, a female, because she's reached the point of having children, or even if, let's say, she has some kind of hormonal problem that's not solvable, but physically she's a regular female, that's not called an islands. That's called an akara. That's a different name in halacha. An akara is chayav and yibachot.
Why is it? The islands is because of the pasuk of Teleir. So
how did Chazal figure this out? That this idea, yeah. So I'm not sure if the answer that question is. It's clear that's a din. No question about the Rabbis having that's a din. How did Chazal understand that? How was there a clear cut Messiah and how did Chazal shared this on their own? I can't tell you. But Taisus even points out, Taisus has an interesting cash and beginning of Masechet Yevamos. Taisus points out that even though we read the Pesukim and Chumash, it sounds like the entire goal of Yibum is children. That's all true. That is the ultimate goal. But it is clear as day that Yibum can be fulfilled without any possibility of having any children. That the Gemara says that even a Biyash Lo Kedarka will count as a Yibum. Taisus says, not many children. But Taisus says you can have other scenarios where for sure there are not going to be any children here. Alpha Bichain, if it's called Halachli Abiyah, that's considered to be Yibum. So it's a strange phenomena. But we've got to wait till, I don't know when the issue is going to learn about this next. But they did it once in the last 70 years, so we got a long way to go on that one.
They assume that she's shut Thomas because of her fault.
Well, it's
it could be the
100%. No question. It's not a question of fault enough. All right, we don't know who is the one who's contributed to this child. The bottom line is that there's a mitzvah Yibum. It could be that you're 100% right. It could be that maybe she's the one who can't have children. It could be he's the one who can't have children. But Lamaise, the mitzvah Yibum goes on anyway.
The woman's 90 years old.
Right. 90 years, she's not going to have children. Sir, right.
Stolen.
Sarah Miri, man. Yeah. Okay. So, we have a little bit of an understanding of Shittas Rabbi Meir, a little alumnus of Shittas Rabbi Meir. Now, let's just analyze one question that Taisus asks now, Maseches Yevamos, on Kufiyut Tes, within the world of Rabbi Meir, to kind of put Rabbi Meir's Shitta into the proper perspective. If you take a look at the ninth of the Maram Kamos, Taisus has a question that's from left field. Bim Taiba. Well, Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Tamiyot, Heichi Meshkachas L'Dmai, Demai is a mitzvah midr, is a din midr rabbanon that was instituted in the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But it was the same Yochanan Kohen Gadol as mentioned on Nisim. There are a few Yochanan Kohen Gadol. I can't tell you for certainty which one it was. But in the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah tells us that they realized that the farmers were not as careful as they should be with separating maizers. And therefore, they took a survey, they tested a little bit, went into some research. And they realized that there were a small percentage of farmers who weren't meistering the crops properly. They were selling in the stores. So therefore, they made a deal with the Rabbanon that if you buy fruits and vegetables, you buy produce from an Amoraite, someone who's not so up to par in terms of his fruit guide, you have to be meister. You have to take the meisters over a second time around. So the Gemara says that that's only a chumah with the Rabbanon. In the Torah, there was really no need for that. But in the Torah, the overwhelming odds are that it probably was meister. But even when they did their research and they did a little bit of a snooping around in the farms and they realized that some of the farmers were not so careful, it was a small percentage of farmers. It wasn't most of the farmers. So therefore, the whole takanas or chum of demai, it's all a chum of midirabana. So yes, Tosfos, we don't find anywhere in Shas that anybody should say that demai is a din in the Torah. Yes, Tosfos, why not? According to Rabbi Meir. Well, Rabbi Meir, the chayish the miut, heichi mishkachas demai. Came the ikum miut ama arach emasher. There's a small percentage of ami arach who are not taking off mice properly. Oh, the geches is tevel. The tevel is a chazak al iser. Any progress that's grown in Eretz Yisrael is usher into perimuter. It's usher into ma'aser to take it off. So this is a classic example of a smoch mi'uta lechazaka, which is a problem in daraisa. So we ask Tosfos throughout Shas, we don't find any. We find the Gemara says in 20 places the ma'aser rabbanon, the ma'aser chumah, the kulam, the rabbanon, the rabbanon. Rabbi Meir himself seems to say that in Bava Metzia, the ma'aser chumah, the rabbanon. Why is it only the rabbanon? According to everything we just said, according to Arai from Tito, tells us yes on themselves. The three words that we said in Bechor Zav Chof are now coming back to haunt us in Yivam's Kufiyut Tes. Why isn't Demai a Din Min HaTorah? So Tosfos has a startling statement. Umihu. Ilo chayish Rabbi Meir l'mil min HaTorah afil hechad yichazak about day elam edirabon nav yasi shah. Says Tosfos, if you hold that Rabbi Meir is legamri edirabon a good person. this whole chumra of miut is only midrabanan. Even with the existence of a chazaka, the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel is only midrabanan. Then everything will be hunky dory. Everything will be great, no problems. Then we understand why dmai is only midrabanan. So before we get to Nelson's next line, what did Tosha say? So he just said that. Let me give you an answer to this question. We're not 100% sure it's a good answer, but it could be. Maybe Rabbi Meir is all a chumra midrabanan. He's a chumra midrabanan without a chazaka. He's a chumra midrabanan with a chazaka. If that would be true, then we understand the necessity for that kind of deny. What is the problem, Rabbi, said with the Tosfos? They were against Tinoch. They just contradict what they just said in Becharis Tavchav Rav with the Tiyog after Tinoch. What in the world is Tosfos talking about? What do those words mean? That, it could be that it's only a derabbanan. It can't be a derabbanan. It's against the about Tinoch. So this is not my kasha. Rabbi Kinega throws his hands up and just says, what are the Tosfos talking about? Mamash had no idea. What is Tosfos talking about? What do you mean that could? Lefini is not there. I say with great trepidation, honor of Gineger, after the Tosis. I don't think Tosis meant that. When Tosis said, look at the Loshen. Tosis didn't say, V'yesh Lomar, that it's only Chumad Rabban. No, Tosis said. Tosis said, Umiyu, if it would have been true, if the following information would have been true, then this wouldn't have been a bad tenets. Tosfos never meant to say it's true. Of course it's wrong. Of course it's dead wrong. It's against the Tiyag HaBitino. Tosfos just say, let us strengthen Akasha. If one could have argued such a thing, and Tosfos, it's like three lines. Tosfos says, we're not arguing that. We're not putting forth that shita. There is no such shita because we proved to you, B'chayrus, Tavchof, the Tiyag HaBitino, it can't be. Such shita is not tenable within the view of every mayor. Tosfos is just playing with us a little bit and saying, if from Suleiman, that would have been true. This would have been a good terrorist. So, yeah, Rufini is the idea. I don't think Tosfos meant that. Kinega took this Tosfos so literally that Tosfos meant Yesh Loima the following. And maybe we could argue with Kinega. Maybe. But what is the answer? The Bible said, what's the emes? Forget about whether we're right or not. What's the terrorist? Yesh Loima says Tosfos. The lo chashin kagav the miut. Tosfos says no. Even Rabbi Meir would agree by Dmai. Why? The im hu huksak. What does that mean? The Tosha seems to be saying as follows. When we went out, we did a study, we did a survey to figure out what's the status of these farmers. Are the farmers trustworthy or not? So we came up with the following information. The Pew survey came with a survey that said that the 93% of the people are really separating the masses. About 7% guys are a little bit careless in what they're doing. So the question is, does that 7% impact on the 93%? So comes to us and says, what does that do with me? That's not even a miut. That's nothing to do with me. I'm an upstanding person. I'm a trustworthy farmer. I'm Eidach and Emissary. The fact that there's one nincompoop or 7% of nincompoops out there who are not steady, what does that do with me? That's not, I'm not in this topic. I'm not in the equation. I'm not in the discussion. We're being done about you as a person. Is Reuven trustworthy? So the answer is, but the Hekates is not trustworthy. He looks like a pretty religious guy. He seems to be pretty from. We have never caught him doing anything wrong. So Hekates say that there's a problem. Just because there's another farmer who's not so from, but I'm not talking about the other farmer. I'm talking about Reuven. Says Tosfos, just because now every Jew under the sun becomes a latest Asafe, says Tosfos, it's not even a latest hasofek. The discussion of rove and miut are, when you have a latest hasofek, then we have to discuss, is there a rove, is there not a rove? When there's no latest hasofek, when I walk into your house, you invite me to your house for Shabbos, I don't know who you are. You look like an upstanding Jew, yes. You walk at the shul, you got a long beard, a long coat. I'm not presenting that as necessarily the image of this. So I'm just to dramatize it a little bit. I want to tell you guys that. So do I have to make, there's a chance that maybe he's going to give me chazer. No, there's not. Not even a chance. Not even a latest to something. Yes, there are some people out there who eat not kosher. What does that have to do with this guy? This guy doesn't. We have no reason to believe it. So the Ephetosis says that Minat Torah is not even a latest to something. And if there's not even a latest to something, so you can't say smoke with the chazer. That's what Tosha says.
The way that I'm reading this
is,
it sounds like in a Torah, there is a something there's a chazaka on the tevel, but he's saying that there's two chazakas here. There's also a chazaka on a farmer from on a Jewish farmer that he's kosher, that he takes nice. So we have
almost like a two like a rovna chazaka against the birna chazaka.
Correct.
Right. But the only problem is that it's almost like double dipping a little bit because we're saying that there's a rove that he took off. Why is there a rove that he took off? Because he's a kosher farmer. So it's the same thing. That means being a kosher farmer is not relevant except vis-a-vis did he take off. So you're addressing the same piece of information. You're just, you know, first you're calling it a rove, but then you turn around and call it a chazaka in order to bump out the meal and the chazaka. So I'm not sure that's not identical thing. That's what's nervous about that shot. I hear what you're accomplishing. The words fit nicely, but conceptually I'm jumping around.
One is the rove of all the farmers, and the other has to do with this individual farmer.
Right, but at the end of the day, I really only want one piece of information. I don't really care whether this farm is from or not. I'd rather know where these apples are mutter. That's my real shaila. So
these apples came from Reuben. Right.
The real lady, the deal is on Reuben. It's a very lumpish shavuot that being done on Reuben, and therefore maybe that's a shot. So Akol Panim Tosfos said that the meal, whatever Tosfos did or didn't mean to say in the first Eretz, is for sure not the right Eretz. The correct Eretz is what Tosfos said.
You're explaining the problem of the world, but Tosfos seems to be focusing on
Chazaka.
Like,
no, Tosfos is saying.
Like, the
Chazaka
of Temple is not
good Chazaka. Wait, no. Tosfos didn't say that. That's a different Teretz. That's another Tosfos that says that Teretz. Tosfos here is using the phrase, the Imu Huchsak, because so many Huchsak is not. The Walter is picking up, ooh, Tosfos said Huchsak. They're talking the language of Chazaka. I'm not so sure that Tosfos is talking about the halachic Chazakas here, or they're just colloquially using the phrase Huchsak, because that's just the words on the page. Tosfos really means to say is that just because somebody has a problem doesn't mean I have a problem. So I'm not sure that Tosfos meant that absolute halachic term, sheshvaita term of Huchsuk. I'm not sure. I don't know. So there is another Teretz, similar to what Steve is saying. There's another day in Tosfos, a different sector. Tosfos says, no, I'll tell you why there's no problem in a term by Dma. You know why? There's no cheskisisa by Dma. What do you mean there's no cheskisisa? Well, that's so simple. Just because something grows in Eretz Yisrael doesn't automatically mean it's tevel. It has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. It has to have gemar malacha. It has to have been finished work on. It has to come into your house. We have put out bias. And if it came into your house with the chimney through the back, something around the back door or something, the gemara says minat Torah doesn't really become tevel. It's got to have a real. It's called kinisa labayis. So, probably had that. Most normal people don't bring their food through the chimney, but it could be. So the Tosfos writes, you can't call Tevel a cheskes iser gomor because you don't really know for certain that it has such a chazaka. And therefore, the whole smoke of chazaka falls by the wayside. So that's a load of Teretz of Tosfos. Another time, another place. The bottom line is, Rabbi Meir Sheet.
It's another chazaka based on the
rule. Yeah. We can make a siyum on Rabbi Meir's understanding of meal that's smoke of chazaka. So we have a good understanding of Rabbi Meir now. Tosfos proofs from Tino, the kashas, the roots, and the lumbus, the analysis. But the bottom line, it helps back them up. At the end of the day, only because of what we clarified to clarify a little bit today, we can understand the Gemara getting the base, why the Gemara jumps and says, we're a male. But of course, we left a major chunk of the Sugya completely untouched, and that is the view of the Chacham. So how does all this fit in according to us? We who reject the mayor, how does any of this make sense according to us? What is Rova? What is Mil? What is Mokhul? Chazakha does exist. Like that, the rice that I bought it. Yeah, we got another few more we come to do. That's your next one. Well, we're not calling it devil. We're just Ruben's bringing me fruit and saying, I'd like to sell you fruit. And I'm asking myself, isn't it a chazakha devil? But I'm just saying, no, it's not.